Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We are Groundworks, Inc. I'm Alice Marcus Krieg. I'm solo today again, unfortunately. Carmen is taking a restful hiatus, which is long deserved. Groundworks designs, installs, and maintains gardens in and around New York City. And We Dig Plants brings the culture to horticulture. So we're going to talk today about the culture of food in New York City and the food and farming situation. We have a great guest today. We're talking with City Harvest, which is a New York City institution, which is a giant in the industry. For our New York City listeners, I think we're all pretty accustomed to seeing the big white City Harvest trucks picking up from restaurants and delivering food to food banks and shelters, etc. So today we're going to focus on the farms that give food to City Harvest, being that we're on the heels of Thanksgiving. So we had the opportunity to learn more about those City Harvest trucks this fall when we designed an entry garden for their new shipping warehouse in Long Island City, which is on the Newtown Creek, where that creek meets the East River, and it's a fantastic, beautiful site. So today, as our guest, we have Matthew Reich, Vice President of Operations with City Harvest. He's going to explain more about what they do and how they get the food not only from the city restaurants, but also from the farms. Welcome, Matthew. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So a few days have passed now since Thanksgiving, and we're heading into Christmas. This is your busiest season for you all, right?
You know, this is the time of year that New Yorkers are especially generous in donating food to City Harvest. And we also are running a very, very large citywide food drive sponsored by the Daily News. And we also, so we have an extra 30 to 40 extra pickups every day of shelf-stable foods that we pick up that New Yorkers drop off at post at police stations, fire departments, schools in the city. And yeah, we hope to rescue 10 million pounds of food between, you know, the end of October and the beginning, middle of January.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell our listeners a little bit about the history of City Harvest and how and when it all got started.
Well, City Harvest started about 30 years ago when a woman who was working in a soup kitchen went to a restaurant, and she realized that there was extra food the restaurant was throwing out every day, and she thought, wow, why don't I just pick this food up and bring it to the soup kitchen and feed people who don't have any money and who need food? And so she started in her station wagon, rescuing food from restaurants, bringing it directly to soup kitchens and food pantries. And 30 years later, we've grown into, you know, the world's largest food rescue organization, which means that we rescue food from all channels of food distribution business, manufacturers, wholesalers, restaurants, retailers, farmers, and we rescue food and bring it to agencies completely for free, distributing it to soup kitchens and food pantries in the five boroughs.
Okay.
And, nope, go
Sorry,
ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, tell us some stats. You guys have some phenomenal numbers that you deal with.
Yeah, so this year we will rescue and deliver about 42 million pounds of food.
42 million. Wow.
42 million pounds, if you, you know, look at that on a daily basis, 5 days a week, it's about 150,000 pounds a day. So we have 21 trucks mm-hmm. on the road today delivering food, rescuing food and delivering food. And they're, you know, 18-foot refrigerated trucks. And we also have a tractor trailer, refrigerated tractor trailer delivering food.
Okay.
And we have a warehouse in Long Island City that you talked about on the banks of Newtown Creek, which unfortunately flooded during Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
That's a different story. That's a different story.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
And the warehouse today has about 1.3 million pounds of inventory in it. And the warehouse has 1,700 pallet positions. So in addition to food that we rescue from restaurants and from supermarkets and from BJ's and from Fresh Direct and from Hunt's Point, we also get food from farmers all over the United States who have surplus food who ship it to our warehouse.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So it's all over the United States.
Well, yeah. About half of our food comes from within the five boroughs and half of our food, which is local food, and then half of our food comes from farmers all over the United States. About 60% of what we rescue and deliver is fresh fruits and vegetables. So that will be about 25 million pounds this year of fresh fruits and vegetables. So we're really in the fresh fruits and vegetables business.
Okay. So let me ask you this, because I've actually had the opportunity to tour your facility in Long Island City. And I was so impressed by obviously the volume. So when you get all this food into the shipping facility, how do you sort through it and disseminate who gets what? And are some of the vendors that you then deliver to, are they picky ever?
We deliver to food kitchens and soup kitchens and food pantries all over the five boroughs. We have a network of agencies who are feeding probably 300,000 people a week, and those agencies are feeding hungry New Yorkers who are working, don't have enough money to buy food and pay the rent and drugs and gas and commute to work.
Right.
They may be getting food stamps and they run out of food stamps in the third week of the month. It's a real expensive city to live in, as
right.
we all know.
Uh-huh.
And so we help them survive by distributing food to these agencies. So the food that comes in that we pick up in the five boroughs every day at Hunt's Point, at restaurants, at Fresh Direct, at Tomcat Bakery, we deliver directly to agencies that same day. So we don't even bring it back to our warehouse.
Okay.
We pick it up. We pick up, you know, let's say cottage cheese at Fresh Direct that may have 2 days shelf life left on it, and we bring it directly to a food pantry in Queens, and people are eating it that night.
Okay. Is there a product that is always in excess? Like I would imagine bread. I always see the bread out on the streets, you know, waiting for the pickup.
You know, what's amazing in America is that we have, according to the USDA, 100 billion pounds of surplus food, including 6 billion pounds of produce. So this is, you know, totally United States, total food chain. So even if that's off by a factor of 10, mm-hmm. which I don't think it is, you know, there's 10 billion pounds of surplus food. Surplus food exists in every single part of the food supply chain. Manufacturers, farmers, wholesalers, bakeries, retailers, restaurants, they all have surplus food. And it's perfectly healthy, safe,
right.
delicious food. It's just, you know, when a bakery bakes
right.
bread,
more than
they generally bake more than they're planning on selling because they don't want to run out.
Sure.
When Trader Joe's or Whole Foods ends the day and they have bread on the shelves, they can throw it out, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. They don't sell it. They give it to City Harvest. So
mm-hmm.
we pick up food from, you know, all the retailers in New York City and a lot of the sandwich shops. So Pret a Manger, for example. I mean, Pret makes sandwiches every day fresh, and at the end of the day, we have an employee actually who rides a cargo bike who rides around Midtown on a cargo bike and picks up food, leftover sandwiches at Pret-a-Manger, and brings them directly to soup kitchens where people eat them that night.
Okay.
So that's typically what we do.
It's actually remarkable, and I always think of you all as worker bees. You just see the little trucks zooming here and zooming there, and then, you know, to hear the statistics and the amount of people that you're feeding and the waste, you know, quote unquote waste that you're disseminating. It's remarkable and it's amazing.
Well, you know, when you talk about waste, the most important thing to us is food safety and sanitation.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's surplus food that's grown in the United States. So there's billions of pounds of produce that farmers grow and then either can't find a market for, mm-hmm. or the market is so low it doesn't pay them to take it out of the ground and pack it and ship it.
Right.
Or it may have, you know, maybe pears with brown spots on it. There's nothing wrong with the pear, but supermarkets don't want to sell it because it doesn't look perfect.
Retail ready. Exactly.
So it's fine to eat, and so we get a lot of pears, apples, potatoes, sweet potatoes that are off sizes. Last week we got an entire tractor trailer load of sweet potatoes from a farmer that were too big.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with them; they're just too big to sell in the supermarket. So he could either throw them in a landfill, or he could donate them to City Harvest.
Yeah, and take a write off too, which is good, right?
Well, farmers actually are doing it more out of the kindness of their hearts. Farmers can't take a tax write-off, because they've already, you know, spent the money to plant the crops.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's no tax advantage to them to do it, but farmers, you know, they're in the food business,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to throw food away.
Right, sure.
And, you know, they feel terrible when there's, you know, the potatoes are too small or too big, or the onions are, you know, the supermarket doesn't want to sell them because they're the wrong color or shape and size, and so they don't want to throw them away. They want to give them to City Harvest.
So how do you get connected with the farmers then?
Well, we've had relationships directly with farmers in Orange County for about 25 years. And you know, one of the hidden secrets of New York is that we've got this black dirt country up in Orange County around Warwick, New York, which is an amazing growing area. Just farms.
Right.
And they are growing all kinds. They're the farmers that you see at the farmers markets in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to farmers markets outlets, they also sell their product wholesale. And so we deal directly with those farmers, both at the New York City green markets, you know, Grow NYC at Union Square Green Market, for instance. You know, we have volunteers who come at the end of every market day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and they walk around to the farmers at the end of the market day and pick up whatever the farmers don't want to take back to the farm or couldn't sell. And mm-hmm. those volunteers load it onto a City Harvest truck at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and we bring it directly to a soup kitchen or a food pantry in Manhattan where people eat it. And so those farmers know City Harvest. And so when they have, you know, 5 pallets or a full truckload of butternut squash or a full pallet of cabbage that they can't sell or that's surplus, they call us and we drive to Orange County and pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever deal with some of the rooftop farms that are starting to
rooftop farms also have surplus. So mm-hmm. the rooftop farms, you know, both in Queens and in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
when they have surplus product or lettuce that they can't sell,
mm-hmm.
They give us a call and we're happy to go over and pick it up.
That's great.
And so we end up being able to supply the our clients, you know, hungry New Yorkers, with an amazing variety of food. You know, fresh, healthy greens, squashes, peppers. It's just sort of amazing. I mean, when I see what we're giving out, when I shop at a supermarket, you know, I'm paying $3.99 a pound for, you know, tomatoes, and, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we're giving away for free to hungry New Yorkers. It really is a fulfilling job.
Right. Is there ever anything that, like, you have too much of, like zucchinis, you know?
You know, Yeah, it's just like everybody. You know, we source most of our produce from local farms, and you know, New York State is the number one cabbage producing state in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that, but I mean, we grow more cabbage than anybody else.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so we often, and in January and February, you know, cabbage is in storage in upstate New York, and you know, for the past couple of years, we've been blessed with truckloads of cabbage. So sometimes, yeah, we, you know, after a couple of weeks of eating cabbage, it's we get too much cabbage. But it you know, there are also times of years, believe it or not, New York City, you know, is a major port for banana boats. So there are a bunch, there are a couple of banana boats that show up from Latin America every week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the banana boats probably have, let's say, 400 containers of bananas on them. If 1% of those containers are bad, that means that they've gotten wet during shipping, or they're too ripe, you know, they've got to be green to, mm-hmm. to go into the distribution channel.
Right.
1% means that there's 160,000 pounds of bananas. And some weeks during the year, we get inundated with bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we share them with other, we actually share them with food banks and other food rescue organizations, because we're all part of a network. And so if we get too many bananas or too much cabbage, we'll call our friends in Long Island or in New Jersey and, you know, ask them to come and pick it up.
Right. Okay, we have to take a break. Stay on the line, Matthew, and we'll be right back. You're listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We're talking with Matthew Reisch, Vice President of Operations at City Harvest Organization. Now, when I first moved to New York, as you can imagine, I was completely overwhelmed. New York is a crazy place. But I found respite in the farmers markets and in the food and in the farmers and in the horticulture. I knew that in the midst of all this hustle bustle, there were people like me that were interested in food and farming and the fine balance and dichotomy of city and country. So I remember seeing all those City Harvest trucks, and it's wonderful to finally be able to learn more about you all. We had, before the break, we were talking about the farmers and what they grow and how you get connected. So tell us, Matthew, what's the range geographically of farmers that you deal with? You said you deal nationally.
Yeah, I mean, most of the farm food that we get comes from the, you know, a local 8-hour drive from New York City. So, mm-hmm. you know, the Hudson Valley is a great source for us. New Jersey is a great source for us. We got, I think, 300,000 pounds of peaches from a peach farmer in southern New Jersey last summer. And, you know, we do get some produce from, I'd say, that comes from Florida out to as far west as Detroit and as far north as Maine. So mostly the East Coast. You know, when we deal with a farmer and he has surplus food, it's usually, generally, we have to pick it up. You know, we'll get a call from a farmer in Georgia, and he will have, you know, sweet potatoes that are too big, and they could, he say, well, you know, if you come and pick them up, they're yours.
Yeah.
So, you know, the freight rates have almost doubled in the past year. So we used to be able to go to Georgia and pick up sweet potatoes for, you know, $1,500 a trailer, and now it's costing $2,700 a trailer.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, we're very careful about what we spend because, you know, we raise money from donations to pay for our trucking and our salaries and our warehouse operations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our goal is to spend, you know, 91 cents of every dollar we raise on emergency food operations.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to, you know, rescue and deliver a pound of food, total cost all in, for about 25 cents a pound.
Okay. So is it only produce, or do you deal in meat and dairy as well?
No, we do meat and dairy. When we go to BJ's store in Queens, mm-hmm. we pick up, you know, fresh dairy and fresh meat and bakery and produce. You know, we will pick up anything that D'Agostino's gives us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, we have great retail partners, so we're sourcing pretty much a little bit of everything.
Right.
What we don't source a lot of is canned goods. I mean, we're really, you know, canned goods, because they have a shelf life, you know, they're very shelf stable, and so we generally get products that are less shelf stable because we're fast enough and nimble enough to pick stuff up, pick up food, and deliver it to people who can eat it that day. This time of year, of course, we also get a lot of turkeys, and we've distributed since the beginning of November over 11,000 turkeys to families all over New York City. And the turkeys were purchased by us from a wholesaler. And also, turkeys came in from all kinds of organizations and foundations and companies that just decided to, you know, donate 500 turkeys to City Harvest or 300 turkeys to City Harvest. So there's, you know, the generosity of New Yorkers, especially since Hurricane Sandy, has just been overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was actually just wanting to talk about that. I can't believe how you guys operated. It's remarkable. On, you know, for Sandy, which is in itself just a huge undertaking of getting food out there, and then Thanksgiving and now Christmas, you guys just must be working round the clock, even more so.
Yeah, it's been pretty much 7 days a week since October 31st.
Yeah.
You know, when we came in on Wednesday. And there's a lot of information about our Hurricane Sandy relief efforts that's on our website. If you go to cityharvest.org, you can see what we've done, how many people we've helped, and, you know, the ways in which anybody who wants to help City Harvest can figure out to volunteer time or donate food or donate money.
Yeah.
It's all on our website, cityharvest.org.
Yeah. So I wanted to also mention that you guys have an amazing volunteer network and organizational ability to get volunteers working on this behalf.
Absolutely. And since the hurricane, we've been running 3 shifts a day of volunteers in our warehouse in Long Island City repacking food to provide emergency food boxes and emergency pantry bags to Hurricane Sandy victims. So
right.
We've had a couple of thousand volunteers working in Long Island City since the beginning of November. And, you know, we also use volunteers at all the green markets. You know, all the volunteer opportunities are available to check out on our website. You know, it's cityharvest.org. But we have a very well-organized volunteer management group here,
mm-hmm.
who can plug you right in.
Yeah.
We also need volunteers at our mobile markets, which are neighborhood distributions of fresh fruits and vegetables that we operate in 5 neighborhoods in New York City, and we give fresh fruits and vegetables away directly to clients in those neighborhoods. And we always need volunteers to work the mobile markets.
And who are those clients? Are they...
The clients are people who just need some extra help.
Okay.
They need help. You know, they're people who don't have enough money to feed their families.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this is a way that everybody can give back, is volunteering mm-hmm. for City Harvest.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier that we did a garden on the creek that fronts your shipping facility. So it was designed to be really an entertainment space and like a welcoming space for your volunteers, and also act as a possible fundraising event space because you're on such a unique piece of property in Long Island City. So we designed all these decks and these plantings, and it was just heartbreaking when we saw the damage of the rising creek waters that overcame that whole front entry. And then just also knowing that, you know, budget was such a concern when we were designing that garden, and then knowing that money was so tight, and then to have it be, you know, 50%, 60% ruined was just heartbreaking, knowing the good work that you all do.
It still looks good, though, I have to tell you. The deck, you know, the deck is warped, and some of the plants died, but the rest, what's there, is still looks good, and people are walking on it every day. And, you know, it's a surprisingly resilient garden that you guys did there.
Well, we're gonna you know, come back in the spring or see what we can do at the end of this season now to you know, help you guys overwinter it and then have it looking great for next spring. Because I you know, this is how you make money, and this is, so many people come in and out of your facility, and we really want to help you all do that. So... That's going to be...
Thanks. Thank you. That's very generous.
Yeah. I think we're at the end of our show, unfortunately. Is there any final thoughts that you have other than visit the website and volunteer?
No, I think visiting cityharvest.org and volunteering, and, you know, just thank your listeners for being so generous to their fellow New Yorkers who need so much, especially after Hurricane Sandy. You know, the outpouring has been tremendous, and... you know, I hope that people's generosity stays at this level.
Well, that's what I think makes New York amazing, is that there are so many people and so many avenues of connections, and it's great that horticulture and food and giving and generosity can all be a part of that fabric.
Yep. We really appreciate it. You know, hunger is a year-round issue. It doesn't go away when, you know, Hurricane Sandy victims are back on their feet.
It's still
1.2
issue.
Million people. 1.2 million people in New York City living in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge number, and it's unfortunate that we've got, you know, the prosperity and also the poverty. It's just.
Yeah.
You know, the fact of life.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Matthew, for sharing with us how you all work and shedding some light on all the good work, and for joining us today on We Dig Plants and explaining your vision. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks to Jack Inslee for producing and to Joe G for engineering. Thanks to Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick and to our sponsor. Please leave any comments and join our Facebook fan page, Groundworks Inc. We Dig Plants. And we're also on Twitter. We're tweeting We Dig Plants. And also visit our website, groundworksgardens.com. Happy gardening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.